Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiya, it is the Redmen Bite Size Podcast. It's Wednesday, the 11th of October. I'm Chloe Bloxham, and we are going to round up today's news and to kick us all off. Howard Webb, the head of the PGMOL, held his lovely little TV show that he now has with Michael Owen last night, and on it he spoke about that Diaz disallowed goal v Spurs, and we're just going to quickly go through exactly what was said and what he believed happened on the pitch. I don't know why we're going through this again, because before they even did a review, they told us exactly what had happened. They then did a review and gave a statement of what happened, and now they're just telling me, but with audio instead, because it's all practically the same. But either way, Howard Webb went on to say it happened due to a loss of concentration. He then went on to say, though, that without VAR, the goal wouldn't have stood anyway. I don't know how that helps anyone, to be honest, Howard, because the reason that VAR is there is because decisions like that would be made, because people only get one chance to look at it, and VAR is supposed to be there to correct it. So turning around and saying without VAR the goal wouldn't have been given anyway doesn't actually do anyone any favours, and it doesn't help VAR either. But he did go off and say that. He then said, we have been, you know, getting quite a lot of criticism for how long we take to make decisions. We want the decision process to hurry up as well, but not at the risk of losing accuracy in decisions. And we've all been there. There's always been a decision for every team. Since VAR has been a thing, where it's felt like it's took 4 minutes to get to a clear decision. And if it's a grey area, if it's a decision that needs, you know, looking into a more replays, you can totally understand it taking that long. A decision that seems simple, where they've spent 5 minutes on, is a bit annoying. But like Howard's just said there, if the decision overall is correct and the conclusion is correct, then no one's bothered really about how long it takes. And Howard believes that potentially due to the fact that us wanting to hurry up the speed and Darren England, you know, hurrying up that speed, that's where the problem occurred. He said the human error of him just saying check complete has now affected new protocols. New protocols are being brought in, and instead of, you know, just the VAR saying check complete, which is a bit mad that they'd just say that anyway, because surely there's been more decisions like this where you need to explain exactly what's going on. In fact, for every decision you should explain check complete, red card, check complete, you know, offside, check complete, not offside, goal should be given. All of that should be a thing, but it's not. So why that's only just being implemented, I don't know. Why no one thought at the beginning that was, you know, real important communication, I've got no idea. But going forward, you will be hearing more things like check complete, goal offside, confirmed, goal confirmed. So they will be given a little bit more context of what the hell they're checking and what their decision is, because evidently it didn't go in Liverpool's favour, and it was all just an absolute mess up. As for the laws of the game, obviously we know that the referee didn't bring it back, because VAR didn't bring it back. Darren England was being told to delay the game and was being told his error, but he wouldn't acknowledge it for about 25 seconds. When he did finally acknowledge it, he said there was nothing that he could do. The game's restarted. And in absolutely no shock or surprise, Howard Webb has actually supported him and said, due to the laws of the game set by FIFA, yet he wants to make sure that you knew that it was by FIFA and not by the PGMOL, they couldn't stop playing, go back in the circumstances that occurred. And the problem I have here is the fact that Michael Owen, who's still next to him, just takes that for what it is. Why hasn't Michael Oliver challenged it and said, do you not think, though, that, you know, common sense has to prevail? Do you think that if the referee was notified and he spoke to the two coaches and it was brought back and it was given a goal, would you be proud of your team? What would you think on that matter? What would you have done in that situation? Howard Webb didn't get asked any of these questions. Michael Oliver, Jesus Christ, we're going to get on to him in a minute. Michael Owen did just take it for what it was and didn't really challenge him on it. But he went on to say international FA boards are now doing a review of the laws when it comes to VAR. So he basically said, we need things like this to happen for us to understand that we need to change the rules. Why we thought that we needed something like this to happen for us to have knowledge of changing the rules is beyond me. Once again, common sense should have just told you. Actually, you know what, lads? If something's not given and it's incorrect decision, right, yeah, and we've accidentally messed up here with VAR, because VAR is a process. It's not well done, boys, though. How have we implemented a rule where no one can go back after the restart? It's ludicrous. But the FA board are now going to look into that and see what they can change. Howard Webb also said that the referees and on-field officials did not know until after the game. And Michael Oliver did ask him, you know, do you think the referee should have been told? And Webb said no, it was for the best that the referee didn't know. Otherwise, it would have been on his mind and potentially distracted him when making decisions for the rest of the game. And here's where I have a problem then. You're not refereeing the game correctly. You're not doing your job then. If a decision has swayed you let's say Luis Diaz doesn't get his goal, the referee, Simon Hooper, understands that. He's been told that. So he's more lenient to give Liverpool fouls or Spurs yellow cards. Or if there's a red card decision, he's more likely to give a red card. You're not refereeing the game. You're not doing it by the laws of the game. So you're not then doing your job. And no matter what decisions you get right or wrong on the pitch, like, it should, you should just base what you've got in front of you and judge it by the laws of the game. And obviously, Curtis Jones getting a red card, that was, you know, controversial to quite a lot of people. It didn't change, you know, Simon Hooper from giving Diogo Jota a second yellow and sending him off either. So it's all a bit mad. I think the referee should have known because later on he talks about how he doesn't want officials. The VAR don't want to re-ref games for the referee and they don't really want to make them decisions for the ref. And in this case, they've not let the ref make the decision. They've made the decision. So they contradict themselves all the time. It's quite annoying. It's a it's a loophole here that we're going to have to deal with, because even this weekend decisions were incorrect. You saw Brentford the day after the Spurs game, and what should have been a very clear penalty, VAR deemed not a foul and not a penalty. There's just officials who are absolutely crap at their job, and the quicker we understand that, the better it'll be for the game. I don't mind VAR as a concept, but when you've got absolute idiots in charge of it, that's when I've got a problem with it. Do a bit more like UEFA. UEFA are a bit closer to what we need. They have, you know, that the actual technology to tell you when something's offside or onside, but we can't do that because that would get rid of like three people's jobs, and we really want to help each other out when we're officials. So that's probably why that's not there. But yeah, I can't keep going round about the Spurs game. It angers me every time. I get over it and then I'm reminded of it, and truthfully, the end decision is that referees are just crap, they're incompetent, they're not good at the jobs, and until they get good at their jobs or you get someone else who is good at that job, VAR will still become a shambles. It won't get any better. You need officials to get better because they're the ones in charge of making these decisions. But moving on.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We'll go to Ryan Gravenberch, who has scored one goal and got two assists in like four appearances for Liverpool. Should be two goals. And yet he still has not been picked by the Netherlands under 21. If you're wondering why, it's because on transfer deadline day, he joined Liverpool. The next day, he was supposed to go to Netherlands and play for their under 21s. He decided to stay at Liverpool, find a house, try and settle down, try and get everything he needed to live there, you know, to bring stuff over from, you know, his place in Germany, all these kind of things. And the Netherlands didn't respect that, didn't respect the lad who'd had quite a torrid time at Bayern, and his potential's through the roof. And they didn't like that. He wanted to get his career back on track and decided that he should have picked the Netherlands over Liverpool. Now, I don't care for international footy, so I will obviously not care about what the Netherlands think. But I will tell you what has happened. So Ronald Koeman, who I'm pretty sure left one of his jobs to go to Barca, which doesn't really seem any different to what Ryan Gravenberch has done. In fact, Ryan Gravenberch actually has an excuse. But either way, he turned around and said, "We do have a certain opinion about cancelling for the Dutch juniors or Dutch national team. I don't think he has played much yet. Last Thursday, there was a competition. But he said, I still think he has great talent. I hope he can develop at Liverpool and play more because then he will always be a player for the Dutch national team. And here's the thing is that, like, you clearly know how talented he is and how talented he could be, but you're not supporting a lad who's trying to get his career back on track. He said the signal has been sent to him. We are now busy with a group of players because obviously there was other players who were called up. He said, I don't know if it's a one-off, but we are not going to write off young players anyway. So basically, the Dutch team think that this is sending, by not choosing him, this is sending a message to Ryan Gravenberch. And all I have to say is to Ryan Gravenberch is just keep performing, right? Yeah. And at some point, they'll have absolutely no option to choose you. And then you don't look like you've said sorry and had to come back. It's very much been a case of you've been too good. They've crapped themselves because they feel like they need you. And they'll include you in the squad, and that might happen. I mean, they'll probably think that just this time is enough of a punishment to Ryan Gravenberch. But if I was Ryan Gravenberch, I'd be sat there thinking, boss, great, let me continue to focus on Liverpool because, you know, with McAllister potentially playing DM, it's me and Curtis Jones for the left side of midfield, and Curtis Jones is injured. I can potentially get my stamp on this Liverpool side and force my way into the team. And let's hope that him spending more time at Liverpool really helps his development. And as for the Dutch team, they should be really excited that he's joining Liverpool, that he's getting opportunities, because he could be a superstar for them in the future. So I've got no idea why Ronald Koeman, who's not done many good things or right things in life, let's put it that way, and has left teams to go and join other teams and be managers of other teams, has decided that Ryan Gravenberch, trying to get his career back on track and moving his stuff so that he can live in Liverpool, is just a step too far. But yeah, all the best to Ryan Gravenberch. I'm happy he's staying. That just means, you know, there's less chance of him getting injured. Let's touch wood for that, though, because, you know, there is still chance because he still trains. But I'm just keep ignoring him, the Dutch team. I'm fine with yous doing that. That is better for Liverpool. Anyway, to round this all off, we're going to go back to another VAR decision. This decision has nothing to do with Liverpool. But I thought it was important because Howard Webb turning around and saying that, you know, he speaks about how he doesn't want officials, VAR team to re-ref a game of football, and how that contradicts exactly what happened in the Spurs game. Well, it happened in the City game, and this time they were once again protecting their mates. Kovacic should have been seen a straight red for his challenge on Martin Odegaard. I won't hear anything else. I won't. It's a clear red card. Every single day of the week, it hits every bullet point of the criteria that it needs to be a red card. He should have been sent off. Martin Odegaard could have broke his leg. If his leg's planted any more and he's put any more weight on it, his leg snapped in two. However, Howard Webb said that we want to be as consistent as possible. And here's the problem, because there is absolutely no consistency, because Curtis Jones gets a red card for, you know, an accident. There's no force, there's no intent, there's no malice, there's no none of that. And look, at this point I'm okay with Curtis Jones seeing red. I think it's a tough one, but if people want to think it's a red card, I can understand where they've came from, and I can understand the referee giving a red card when, you know, a freeze image of him nearly snapping someone's leg is very much what's on the VAR monitor when he goes over there. So, like, I'm okay with that. However, this was less of a grey area. This was reckless, out of control, extreme force, a leg-breaking challenge, potential, you know, harm to the opponent. And yet, VAR didn't do anything. Howard Webb said, it's clearly a poor tackle, and if a red would have been given on the field by Oliver, it would have been a straightforward check complete. And that's the thing. So if there would have been absolutely no complaints about a red card and him giving a red card and being sent straight off, why is there no complaints at the fact that he's only gave a yellow? Why is no one looking at that then? Because There's quite a line between what I deem a yellow and a red, and that is a stonewall red card. It's one of the most clear red cards you're going to see. He's high. It's a leg-breaking challenge. The lad can break his ankle, his lower leg. He said the first yellow isn't clear and obvious to the VAR to issue Oliver to take a look and give a red. I don't get it. I don't. What is this clear and obvious criteria? What does it need to be? Because no matter how many times I see that, no matter if it's slowed down, full speed, the challenge gets worse and worse and worse and worse. I don't understand how VAR hasn't even said to Michael Oliver, "Hey mate, I'm going to let you have a look at that. I don't need to say if it's a red card. I don't need to say anything. I just want you to go and have another look. You make your own decision. I'm not going to tell you what I think. I just want you to have a look so you've got a better view of it." Because it was at a high speed. The lad's gone in at a real force. And yeah, the thing that I don't get is Howard Webb continues to say the VAR officials didn't want to re-ref that decision. And this is the point. That's what VAR is there for, though. Just go by the letter of the law. Just literally, just do your job. It's just that simple. You're not re-reffing the game if you just say, "Aye, mate, you might want to have another look at that." You're still leaving the decision down to Michael Oliver. If you were turning around and you were saying in his ear, "Yeah, it's a red card, that, you know, yeah, lads, I defo a red card, I think." If it wasn't as harsh as what it is, then maybe. But that is a stonewall red card. And once again, they are not undermining the official on the pitch. They don't want to send Michael Oliver to the screen because that's their best ref. And he's potentially got a massive decision in the biggest game of the weekend, incorrect. Not just that, but like, it's just so clear, it's ridiculous. They don't want to get each other into crap, into trouble, and therefore they bend the rules and they move around the stuff so that that doesn't happen. And ultimately, I just don't understand the point of VAR. Howard Webb said he was extremely fortunate to stay on the pitch, especially with the potential second yellow. But obviously, VAR can't intervene with second yellows and tell Michael Oliver, I'll add, yeah, that could have been a second yellow, that. Which, once again, why can VAR intervene in some but not all in circumstances? It's just a bit strange. Either way, he then turned around and said Michael Oliver doesn't want to have a negative impact on the game by overreacting. But here's the problem: by underreacting, he has a negative effect on the game. Kovacic should have seen red straight away. He then doesn't. He then puts another crunch and tackle in on someone. Should have seen a second yellow and got a red card. That game, in a side where Arsenal had, you know, they were missing massive players, they should have been against 10 men for a large period of that game, and they've won, so it doesn't matter. But my word, if they hadn't have won that game, the absolute fury that we would have seen, and I think the fury still should be seen right now, but the fury that would have been seen would have been unbelievable. That's a title challenging game, and after what happened last season, it's important that Arsenal take as many points off City as they can to win the league, if that's what they're trying to do. And yeah, for it to not be a red. And ultimately, Rodri saw the red and Kovacic should have saw the red, which therefore means they would have been missing two players, you know, coming up. Now they can just slot Kovacic back in and tell them to go again. They don't have to fix any potential, you know, gaps that they had. Pep Guardiola doesn't have to do that now, because he's still allowed to use Kovacic when he should have been given a red card. I don't get it. I think the referees and officials are awful. I like VAR. I think VAR is a good thing. I don't like the people in charge of it, and therefore it makes it absolutely awful. And it's much better to just either not have VAR and just take decisions for what they are. A person's only seen it one time, and I can get over it a lot quicker than people and multiple people seeing decisions and just not giving them the correct decisions by the letter of the law. Just ref the game properly. Ref it to the laws of the football game, and you know, you'll be sound. But they don't do that because they want to protect people. They want to keep 11 men on the pitch now, apparently, even though they wanted to keep only 9 against Liverpool. And yeah, I cannot keep doing this. It's just going round in circles, and I hate absolutely everything about the officials. But anyway, that has been all for this Red Men Bite Size. I do have something to ask of you, though. If you could just go over to our YouTube channel, Red Men TV. There is a Bobby Firmino documentary called Bobby Best in the World that our producer Joe created. It's incredible, and it's so close to 200,000 views. If you could just give that a watch, you'd enjoy it. You'd absolutely love it. But also, it helps us reach the 200k milestone. So please do go over there and do that. Reminisce, do something. You know, watch our documentary whilst there's absolutely no football going on. There is international break football, but no one cares. So go and do that for us. But anyway, nice one for listening, and up the Reds.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.